You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Carmen and Yurko are coming up in an hour from Potter's Place in Naperville. Potter's Place in Naperville. Check them out starting at 12. We'll crosstalk with them at 11:45. It's Cap and Company. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Cap with Shea Pepler-Cornett. And we have this breaking news that we will tell you about the fines and suspensions from last night. First of all, again, the Browns and Steelers both fined $250,000. Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely without pay. It will be at least the regular season and the postseason, but that infers it could blend into next season as well. Maurice Pouncey suspended for 3 games. Ogunjobi is suspended for 1 game. I have to think before I say that name. Ogunjobi suspended for 1 game. And then the players are fined an undisclosed amount. So Pouncey, 3 games. Ogunjobi, 1. Garrett for at least the rest of the regular season. Any issues with anything that I just read?
Well, I'll tell you, the first natural question would be, why isn't Mason Rudolph suspended, since he was also a part of this? He will be fined.
He did try to rip Garrett's helmet off.
Yes, yes. And again, there was a lot to this. I'm sure he'll be fined, but he's not suspended. I also am shocked by how quickly this has come down. I would say this is probably the fastest I've ever seen the NFL react to a situation. Think about this. This normally takes weeks, days. I mean, this happened last night, late last night, 12 hours ago.
Well, this goes back to the beginning of the show where I told, well, I was kind of like, we're overblown. It's black and white when it comes to Garrett, right? I mean, there's no defense of it. It's an easy call. 6 games is at least this, you know, the rest of this regular season. That's a good number to start with. So I can see why they would make that call right there. I think the other one's a little bit more controversial. I do not agree with Pouncey getting 3 games. I do not agree.
You think
agree
it should
that.
Be less?
Absolutely.
Now, Pouncey, if for those who maybe haven't watched it closely enough, did defend his teammate in Mason Rudolph, but then threw a kick to the head at the end of the brawl, which is probably where the 3 games came from. Had he not thrown that kick, I'm saying right. thrown as insinuating
this is. This is when Garrett was on the ground.
Okay. Being pinned down.
He kicked him. The guy's wearing a helmet, and he kicked him in the helmet. Am I wrong?
Right.
Kicked him in the helmet. Come on. Now, if the helmet's off and he kicks him in the face with a cleat, okay, different story. Kicked him with the helmet on. He's just trying to protect this guy. There was no damage he could inflict in that moment.
Well, look, the point is, when it comes to the head in the NFL, you got to stay away. You can't swing a helmet. You can't kick somebody. You can't rip someone's helmet off. You can't. You just can't.
What do you think? 312-332-3776. Any issue with these fines or suspensions? Ogunjobi, 1 game. Pouncey, 3 games. Garrett for at least the rest of this season, including the postseason. And the fines are the fines. They got plenty of money. 312-332-3776. I have a problem with Pouncey. Let's go to...
Really quick, yeah. Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. The minimum he could be suspended is for the rest of this season and the right. postseason, although right. the Browns are probably not going to the postseason. The minimum. This is no joke. And this is exactly what I thought the NFL would do. Make a statement, prove a point, and that's what they're doing.
Okay, and I think it should be just for... I don't know why they couldn't just say for the rest of the season. I don't know why. I mean, he's apologized. Maybe they need to talk to him some more. I don't see why this has to go into next year. That's just my opinion. Harding in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I agree with the Garrett suspension. Have no problem there. The Pouncey, I think, is a little harsh. You made a very good point. And I get the whole head aspect, but it's a helmet, man. And he barely was even connecting. It was more of a visual swinging
right.
and barely even hitting him if you really look at what was happening. Now, what I don't like is Mason Rudolph getting nothing, because he played a role in his situation. So I understand he, from the visual aspect, the one getting hit with the bottom of a cushioned helmet. I get that. It could have been worse, et cetera. But he also played a role in this. When the helmet got snatched off, he could have walked away then. Before it started to go crazy and he tried to snatch Garrett's helmet off, like, he played a role in this. So I don't know that maybe a game might be too harsh in that, but at least a fine. For him to not get anything is a little weird. So yeah. I just kind of disagree with that part.
Yeah, and we don't know. Maybe he got fined. I'm not sure. But we're not sure.
Each player's been fined an undisclosed amount, and obviously each team has been fined.
I think
fined
the caller
well.
Is going to echo what a lot of people think, that Mason Rudolph got off scot-free. And not that he should be anything close to what Garrett got, but maybe he should be in the mix here.
Mason Rudolph, though, was trying to take... Again, this game was chippy from the beginning,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If for those of you that watched this game from start to finish, there was roughness and aggressiveness from beginning to end, especially from the Browns, okay? So for Mason Rudolph, I get it. He was trying to rip off the helmet of Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. But you know what? He didn't get the helmet off, and he didn't hit someone with the helmet. And I think there comes a point in this sport where when the helmets do come off, you back away. Your hands go up. You drop it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't do anything really that warranted a suspension. He would have maybe gotten a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct, you know? But at that point, the game was over.
Right. No, I get it. I want to go back to one thing, though. Ogunjobi pushes Rudolph from behind, knocks him down from behind. I don't see why that only gets one, and Pouncey gets three.
Because he kicked him in the
for
head.
Completely defending his quarterback, which is a natural response. That's a natural response. And he did it in a way that didn't hurt the guy anyway.
But you can't kick someone in the head.
Kick someone in the head, Jesse. It's the NFL.
I didn't ask you.
You can't just say dumb stuff.
That's Adam, by the way, for people that don't know.
Oh, my God. I had to come in here.
Let's go to Scott Wakanda. Oh, stop crying. Kick the guy in a helmet.
If this happened in baseball, they'd be out for like 40 games.
Well, they don't wear helmets in baseball.
They do.
They wear helmets in baseball.
Take that. Gotcha.
Whoa, Jesse. Let Scott yell at me first.
Hey, Jesse, you got to stick to baseball, man. I don't know if you've watched football recently, but...
God, are we soft around here. Go ahead.
Pouncey kicking him in that with a helmet on. Did you not see that Watson almost lost an eyeball with his helmet on and got kicked in the head? I mean, it doesn't just, you know, give him every right to do that just because his quarterback got hit in the head and then he can just stomp somebody in the head. Watson almost lost an eyeball. He's wearing his helmet on securely.
Look, the NFL is trying to prove you cannot do things like this anymore. There's no place. It's complete nonsense. And you can't have it. So if there's anything centered around a head, especially without a helmet, it's going to get penalized, and it's going to get penalized harshly.
Jesse, you know who you're not thinking of?
Here we go.
You know who you're not thinking of?
What?
The children.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not thinking of the children.
Let's go back to that stupidity. Let's go to Jim in Huntley. You're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I was just calling because obviously Pouncey got that three-game suspension, and now if we go back to when Sue got that one-game suspension for stomping on Aaron Rodgers, you know, how can you compare those apples? I mean, he stomped right onto his leg and with his cleats. Or like we're saying with Pouncey, he barely connected with them, and he's there doing it for self-defense.
Okay, but it was in his leg, one, and also the Ndamukong Suh stomp happened, when was it, 4 years ago?
This is a different...
Yeah, but this is a completely different time, and... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's a completely different time, and a different temperament, and a different message that the NFL is trying to send.
I don't understand why no one's up in arms about Ogunjobi. I don't get that.
Because he pushed?
He took the cheapest of all the cheap shots, because it was from behind. I mean, the thing with Rudolph and Garrett was
the
explosive.
The cheapest of all shots? Garrett threw his helmet at a quarterback's head.
Okay, it's not equal, obviously, because he had a weapon, but... This guy took a cheap shot at the quarterback from behind. What if he goes down and blows out a knee or something? Everybody with the eye problem. He kicked him in the helmet because he was mad at him. Give me a break. You guys are so soft. My God. Let's go to Kevin
Jesse.
In Elmhurst. You're on ESPN 1000, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree more with you about everybody being soft. And something you got to think about from Pouncey's point of view is he had Big Ben go down earlier in the season. And then they also had Mason Rudolph get knocked out on the field. Their offensive line coach should be praising him for going after Garrett like that.
Of
they got to protect their quarterback.
Of course. That's a natural reaction. And again, maybe it's different. The results matter, meaning if Rudolph actually got hurt, I would have a different tone. If Garrett actually got his eye popped out, I'd have a different tone. So fortunately for Pouncey, and for Garrett, those guys, Pouncey and Garrett, right, the guys they attacked did not get seriously hurt. But I don't see why Pouncey should get three games. By the way, do you agree with me on that?
No, I don't agree with anything you're saying. Like, literally nothing, down to the point where you're saying that everyone's soft. Like, I actually think these are all very much warranted.
I disagree.
You can't kick someone in the head. You can't swing a helmet. You can't.
I'd give Ogunjobi the same amount that I'd give Pouncey.
No. No.
And I think that should be maybe one or two for both.
You're putting, like, your morals into this because he's defending a player. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that any offensive lineman would do that or any lineman, period, would do that. But it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel or what your brotherhood is like. You can't go after someone's head. That's it. There's no more to it.
Everyone's pissed at me. Let's go to Nick in Lansing. You're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I'm just super surprised, Jesse, that you're taking this approach on this. I mean, first of all, I love the show. So, you know, I'm happy to be on here. But at the same time, like, I'm just a little bit taken back because I think we're all forgetting the fact that the head is attached to a freaking neck. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, he still could have done a lot of damage. And then we're talking about intent as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, it's just because he didn't connect on it, yes, doesn't mean it still wasn't malicious.
Nick, and that is a great point. That is a great point. We're sitting here saying if there was someone that was further hurt, we would maybe have a different approach. Well, yeah, what's it going to take? Someone getting their head sliced open for us to say, oh, yeah, maybe he should have been suspended more. Like, no, they're trying to prove there's no place for this. Intent. It was intended to harm. That's it.
I think it was intended to defend his quarterback. I don't know about harm. We don't know what his intent was. I'm sort of saying it, and then I don't know if he wanted injury. I think he wanted to just at least back up his quarterback.
And that's fair. And I think 9 out of 10 players in that situation would have probably done something similar, maybe even worse. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get reprimanded for it.
Adam, since you're just know-it-all, when should I get to this Darvish thing? He spoke, and it's been translated. Should I read it? Should I wait?
I was upstairs when you guys... You know, I actually took Japanese in college for a semester.
You could have done that.
No, I didn't pay attention.
Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times translated it. Should I read some of it or keep going on this?
I mean, we should probably keep with the hot topic,
yeah,
Jesse.
This is a hot take. You're wrong about
Jesse, didn't you used to produce back in the 90s?
Yeah,
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I hate you, too.
Yeah, didn't you used to produce? Weren't you a producer?
All my millennials are coming after you, and I am here for it.
They're so annoying.
Have you heard about this, Shay? Bob Knight kicked him off a bus.
Bob Knight, as in my Indiana Hoosiers head coach. Bob Knight
kicked him off a bus once.
Kicked you off of a bus.
You know the handle what closes the door?
Yes.
As I'm getting on the bus, he told the driver close it, and he pulled it and hit. You know, closed it as I was walking on, and I got bounced off.
Talk about assault. He had no shame.
Exactly. If that was today, I'd probably be a billionaire because everybody would be like, that's assault and everything.
Yeah,
Let's go to Mark in Crystal Lake. You're on ESPN 1000.
Good morning, Shay. It doesn't matter whether it's Cap or whether it's Jesse. Thank you very much for being the voice of reason.
You know, I do what I can around here. I got to keep these guys in line, Jesse, you know?
Absolutely. Jesse.
Yeah.
You keep saying that what Pouncey did was, quote unquote, a natural reaction.
Yeah.
Tell me. What did DeCastro do? And was that a natural reaction?
Wait, who?
DeCastro.
DeCastro, the other lineman. What did he do? And is that considered a natural reaction?
I think everyone was in the heat of the moment after a helmet was swung.
Yeah, I think exactly.
DeCastro was the one who got on top of Garrett and tried to protect him.
Right.
A Steelers offensive lineman tried to protect Garrett from further injury. Why isn't that considered a natural reaction, but the guy who's swinging haymakers and throwing kicks to his head is a natural reaction?
What do you mean he was trying to protect him?
DeCastro, the offensive lineman for Pittsburgh, was on top of Garrett trying to protect him from further getting hurt.
No, I think he was trying to give him the business, wasn't he?
No, he was the one pulling Garrett off. He was the one that got on top of Garrett. And he wasn't holding him out. He was trying to protect him from Pouncey kicking him.
I don't know about that. It seemed like he was just as upset as anybody.
Go look at the video again.
Okay, but what's your point? What's your point?
He's saying
the point is you can't call their two teammates. They're on the same team. Why is the guy who's swinging, throwing punches and kicks is a natural reaction, but the other guy who's trying to protect an opponent isn't a natural reaction.
Right, he's saying
it's a natural reaction and defend that.
I got it. I think Pouncey was suspended, so naturally he's the one that we're talking about. But also, I think there's been a lot of linemen or football players that have already stepped up this morning and said, look, if I was in Pouncey's shoes, that was the way I would probably have gone. I would have been angry and I would have done the same thing. That's the avenue I would have taken. And that's why I think a lot of people think Pouncey's suspension is not as warranted. However, had he not kicked him in the head, I think we'd be talking about a one-game suspension because he would have been involved as much as everyone else was.
Yeah, I guess so. 312-332-3776. I'll reluctantly give you that a little bit. I'm just more mad at Ogunjobi more than Pouncey's. You know what I mean? If you ask me my degree of...
Come on.
I don't like that. He ran up to him and hit him from behind. I mean, there's no question about that. And he did it for no reason. At that point, Rudolph was out of the mess.
He ran up and hit him from behind because he knew Garrett had beef with him and he was trying to defend his own teammate.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
They're both trying to defend their own teammate. So I guess kicking in the helmet a few kicks, big deal, is much worse than nailing a guy from behind who can't even defend himself. What if he falls forward and, like I said, blows out a knee, whatever?
The quarterback can't do that. I got it. I hear you.
Yeah, he quarterback, and he only got one game for it. I'm talking about Ogunjobi.
Can we take Alberto on the south side? Has Jesse ever been in a fight?
I'm getting in a fight right now. What's up, Alberto?
Hey, Jesse. Hey, you're really ticking me off right here. Have you ever been in a fight or in a brawl?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but yes.
Okay. Do you ever get to the point where you want to defend yourself for a friend or something, and you got to kick the dude in the head?
Oh, come on now. Come on now.
No, that's what I'm trying to get at. So thank God for the last caller, because I don't know which lineman was on top of Garrett. So the catcher was on top of Garrett. I seen the video. I fell asleep in the third quarter. The only thing I seen was the hit the safety did on the receiver, which that was pretty nasty too. So the catcher was giving the business to Garrett. And then Pouncey came in and kicked him, right?
Yes.
Okay. That kick right there is not a natural reaction. It is not. Like, if he would have went on top of Garrett and started giving him business on the side, whatever.
Well, the point is somebody was already on top of Garrett. This was his only chance to do something.
Your reaction is to kick him in the head? No, you're not thinking about getting him off. You're thinking about hurting him. Like, hurting him bad when you kick him to the head. And I'm not trying to excuse what Gary did whatsoever. I'm not. But that's not a natural reaction. It's just not. I'm getting back to work. I got to hang up with you guys, and I will listen.
See,
thank you,
Alberto. I think it's interesting. No one's really taking the angle that they think Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely, but at minimum, the rest of this season is not harsh. I wholeheartedly agree with the league's decision on that. Well, but I'm surprised there's not naysayers saying that's too much.
I've sort of directed it about Pouncey here, so let's open it back up. Do you think the Garrett punishment is just? And more to the point, do you think it should bleed into next season?
I think you prove a stronger point if it does.
Wow, you agree with that.
I'd have to sleep on that because I'm not 100% sure that that's the right or wrong thing
to do.
But
you're not completely against it.
No, not at all. I think it definitely sends a stronger message if he suspended the first two games of next season, too. 100%.
I don't like that at all. If he's suspended in the next year, we're going overboard on this. We are going overboard on this.
I think it says you don't swing a helmet.
I'm advocating less penalties for everybody involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going the other way. No. I think it sends the message of don't ever swing a helmet ever in a game again. It's like dealing with children. If you give them the harshest punishment, they're probably never going to do it again.
Philly Godfather is next with some winners for you, and we will continue on this on ESPN 1000. Stay tuned.
You are listening to David Kaplan.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
The Philly Godfather on Cap and Company.
I spend my life trying not to be careless.
The Philly Godfather on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You can hear him every week at this time. The Philly Godfather giving you winners. Cash it. Make some dough, Shay. Listen to this man, will you? Let's bring him in. Philly Godfather, Cap and Company, Jesse Rogers sitting in for Cap. Bears and Rams Sunday night. Philly, what do you got for us?
All right, let's go to the screen game. 473-474 on your sports betting screen. This line opened up, I think, a little too high early in the week with an overrated 5-4 Rams team who's suffering from the Super Bowl hangover as large 8-point favorites over the Bears. We immediately witnessed some sharp money attack the screen on Chicago. They took +8, they took +7.5, and they took +7. Look at the early market reports. the game is tilted a little heavily towards Chicago. 60% of all the tickets punched so far in Vegas and offshore has been on Chicago. But I actually think it's the right side here. I think that number's way too high still. We all know about Jared Goff's numbers, how they drop off against good pass rushing defenses, and we witnessed it again last week against the Steelers. I like the Bears here. I think they're going to cover this spread. I think that number's way too high. Also went under 41 in the game. You got two teams here that combined for 51 sacks on the year on the defensive line. So I don't expect either quarterback to have much time to throw the ball or put up big passing numbers.
All right, let's go to another big game this weekend. The Texans and Deshaun Watson are in Baltimore to take on the surging Ravens. How do you see this
That's
one going?
A great game.
Great game.
This is probably going to be the most fun game to watch. The line opened up 4. It's still painted 4 across the screen. Baltimore's favored at home. The total, though, that's what I jumped on. I went over 49, over 50. The line currently is 51. I suggest you guys jump on that. That number's going to keep going up. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, fireworks. Both defenses rank in the bottom half of the league in opponent yards per pass attempt. So there's going to be some big numbers being put up in this game. Houston ranks 21st in opponent yards per pass attempt, and Baltimore's 19th. And I like Houston here to win the game outright. I took them plus 4. I took them on the money line.
Wow.
Baltimore's coming off that big win against New England. And anytime that happens, it's hard to keep that emotion the following week. It's hard to replicate that type of optimum performance, you know, the next following week. It's usually a letdown spot when you beat a team like Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So I like Deshaun Watson here. I don't think Baltimore's defense is going to be able to put any pressure on him. They rank in the basement of the NFL, you know, in the pass rush department. Actually, both teams aren't that good, you know, with the pass rush. So I'm expecting a ton of points, and I think Houston is going to win the game outright.
Well, I got to mention one thing here, though. The Patriots were 2 weeks ago. Couldn't the letdown have come against Cincinnati and they destroyed them? Or do you think it could be now?
No, I think it's not. I mean, you're playing such a bad Cincinnati team.
Right.
So
this
is the week. If it's going to come, you know, they go in, you know, last week against Cincinnati, they blow that team out. This is the time. You're buying, basically, you're buying Baltimore at the highest level. It's like buying a stock. You're buying a team at the peak where you usually want to sell at that spot.
All right. Speaking of New England, the Patriots play the Eagles, and our weather person said might be a little precipitation there. But what's your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of rain, but I don't know if the weather's going to be bad enough to affect the game that much. So the soft opener offshore basically had the Patriots laying 3 with a combined total set of 46, and it really didn't take that long for the market to move off that key number of 3 as some money entered the market on the world champion Patriots. We've also witnessed the total kiss down from 46 to 45. I'm not really too in love with the side here, but I did go over 45. Obviously, we all know what the Eagles' problem is on defense. They rank 20th in the NFL in opponent yards per pass attempt. And the Patriots are putting up big numbers on the road there. I think they're averaging a little over 29 points per game on the road. And Philly at home averages 3 points more than they do at home. They're putting up right around 27 points at the link. So I'm expecting this total to fly over easily. Gun to my head, if I had to pick a side here, I would actually take the Birds. We all know the Patriots' level of competition was real weak throughout the season. And then we saw what happened a couple weeks ago, like you said, against Baltimore. So they were exposed a little bit. So their metrics, their stats, I think are a little skewed. And, gun to my head, I got like the home dog here plus the 3.5. The Eagles do have some quality wins over the Packers and the Bills. And as of right now, I think over 85% of the money, over 85% of the tickets punched are on the Patriots. So no one's expecting a team like the Eagles to cover the spread or actually win this game outright. So I like the Eagles. I'll take the points with the home dog here.
All right, Jacksonville traveling in Indianapolis, playing in a dome against the Colts. Colts lost their last 2 games. What do you see in this one, Philly?
Yeah, the odds makers offshore. They opened this line with the Colts, small 3.5-point favorites, which left me scratching my head a little bit here against the Jags with a combined total set of 44. We saw some early money enter the market. It hit the screen on the road dog here, which forced the bookmakers to adjust their price below that key number of 3 down to 2.5 on Indy. There's still some 3 even monies out there. So basically, the books aren't going to even charge you any juice if you're looking to bet the Colts here. And they never give out gifts, so I'd be weary if you're looking to bet Indianapolis. So the total has also been kissed down slightly from 44 to 43.5. The early market reports are showing this game basically even 50-50 split on the Jags and Colts. Nick Foles is back this week. I know know the Colts look to be a little bit of the better team coming into this week. They have the better record, better point differential. And when you look at the common opponents, Indy beat the Chiefs, the Texans, the Broncos, while the Jags lost to Houston twice and getting blown out to them last week, 26-3. Jacksonville lost by double digits to the Chiefs in week one, and were actually down, trailing 17-6 at halftime to the Broncos before they came back in the second half and won that game with a field goal at the end of the game as time expired. With that said, you can throw all the metrics out the window. I like the Jags here, man. I bet the Dolphins plus 3.5. When you compare the numbers defensively, these teams' metrics, they're very similar. The turnover differential is basically exactly the same thing. It's -2. But the big difference to me is the disparity on offense. I mean, without Foles at quarterback, the Jags still ranked 16 spots higher than Indy in yards per play, 15 better in yards per rush attempt, and 10 notches better in yards per pass attempt. So I think the Jags are going to come in here. I think they're going to win the game outright. I took them plus the points. I think they win the game outright.
A couple dogs on the road winning, Texans and Jaguars, according to Philly Godfather, who also likes the Bears and the under. You said it's about at 7 right now, the line?
Yeah, it's 7. There's some 6.5s out there. If you can grab the 7, obviously the 7 is such a key number. It's worth buying it to 7.
Philly, good luck this weekend. Cap will be back to give you some abuse next week.
Good luck, guys.
All right. Take care. Philly. That's the Philly Godfather with his picks. Bears plus 7 and the under in that game. It doesn't feel like there's going to – I mean, the Rams are not the Rams of last year. The Bears with a hurting David Montgomery against a pretty good, you know, defensive line, Aaron Donald. I mean – under seems right to me, but you never know. Defensive touchdowns, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, I thought this was really high for two struggling offenses. Look, this is not like Jared Goff is going up against Mitchell Trubisky. I think whoever can prevail in this game will be the winner. It's definitely a competition of two struggling offenses. Both defenses have been more than capable.
All right, the news of the day that's going to dominate everything. Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely, starting with the rest of this regular season and postseason, and we'll see if that bleeds into next year as well. They haven't said yet. Pouncey suspended 3 games and fined for fighting, including punching and kicking an opponent. Ogunjobi suspended 1 game and fined for unnecessary roughness, specifically for shoving an opposing player to the ground during an altercation. League says more discipline forthcoming for other players, including those players that left the bench to enter the fight area. So we'll see if those would include suspensions or not. So do you agree with the big one, the Garrett one? Do you agree with the smaller ones, the Pouncey and Ogunjobi suspensions? We've had a lively discussion about this. Let's hear from Myles Garrett after last night's game.
You know, that is a bad thing. Now, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character, but... situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with the last play and what happened.
Let's go to Ryan in Lamont. You're on ESPN 1000, Ryan. Ryan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I was just trying to make a point that you said something about, you know, First Take and Golic and Wingo were talking about it, and it seemed like you didn't want to be continuing the conversation, but, like, what would you rather be talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I'm the Bears and Rams. I mean, Chris Bryant. I'm just saying this is black and white. He did what he did. He got suspended. There's no big picture thing here. We have to start eliminating, you know, guys that are going to swing helmets and stuff. These happen once every 5 years. Something egregious like this, you address it and move on. There's no issue to this story.
The sense of urgency that the league had in regards to serving suspensions and fines and coming down with what they deem a normal penalty for this, yeah, I think says a lot about the severity of what happened last night. Look, we don't see swinging helmets every day, to Jesse's point. He's right. But I think the league definitely put forward the notion that, hey, we're not going to have it.
Yeah, I think that's...
We're not going to have this.
But it backs up my point. It was so easy to adjudicate, right? I mean, they didn't have to interview everybody. They didn't have to go over the video like
that's
the Zapruder
true.
Film.
That's
my point. It's obvious, suspended, and we move on. There's no conspiracy here like with the Astros we were talking about earlier. So that was just my point, Ryan.
Well, like, how much worse did it need to be for you to be, like, as appalled as I kind of think you should be? Because, like, remember the Todd Bertuzzi hit? Like, he actually did serious damage and ended the guy's career. So, like, if the helmet was turned the other way, like, Mason Rudolph could be in the hospital right now.
Yeah, I guess that's my point. Luckily, he isn't. So we can breathe a sigh of relief and sort of move on. I don't know. That's kind of my feeling.
The Browns owner Jimmy Haslam released a statement. I was just going to read this here. We are extremely disappointed in what transpired last evening at the end of our game. There is no place for that in football, and that is not reflective of the core values we strive for as an organization, that being the Browns, of course. We sincerely apologize to Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Miles Garrett has been a good teammate and member of our organization and community for the last 3 years, but his actions last night were completely unacceptable. We understand the consequences from the league for his actions. Again, that is Browns owner Jimmy Haslam that released that statement.
Let's go to Jeff in Barrington. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, first time caller. You know, the big thing is I hear all these people talking about, you know, all the heat of the moment. A lot. I'm not going to mention a certain ESPN anchor that I really respect. A lot of those guys don't put on the bucket. They don't understand the metal in your mouth when you're in the heat of the moment. Yes, egregious, but under the pressure, if you look at what, you know, what's done on the bottom of a pile is done on the bottom of a pile. None of these people that talk about this stuff has ever played the game.
Hold on, Jeff. What are you getting at? Are you getting at that people can't have an opinion on swinging a weapon? What are you saying here?
And I don't think he really swung this weapon. If you see, he pulled it off and he swung it because his fingers were stuck in the face guard. That was egregious. That never has a place in the game.
But what
the
are you getting at? Just because you didn't play the game, you don't know. You can't see when someone does something wrong.
But Shay, a lot of people that have played the game have kind of defended the heat of the moment argument.
No. Jeff's saying that just because you haven't played football, which a lot of women or anchors, then they can't comment if something is right or wrong. I just want to be sure I'm understanding that.
That's not it. That was absolutely. You're on the right side of that argument. I tell you, who's the hero out of this? Go for 6-6 to Castro, who tried to break everything up. Yes, it was egregious. It was wrong. Rudolph shouldn't have come back in. His helmet's off. Back off. I saw Joe Theismann against, that was in 86, get his head gear ripped off. Everybody went at it. He backed off.
Rudolph went right back in there.
That's the Hicks argument. It was egregious, but in the heat of the moment, a lot of people, you know, you take a foul in basketball. It's not getting your head kicked in, you know, 40 times a game. You feel the metal in your mouth. You get heated up.
Right.
Who knows what's talked on the bottom of that pile?
Thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate it. We get the point, and I sort of agree with him.
Okay.
Sort of.
I get what he's saying. We weren't in the pile. We don't know what words were exchanged. What I know is I watched two football teams be very chippy from start to finish, and I saw something I have never seen in a game, a helmet being swung at someone else and actually hitting the player that doesn't have a helmet on his head and it being the quarterback. Wrong. He deserves the suspension. I don't care who saw it. I don't care if you played football. I don't care if you've never played a down in your life. Like me, I've watched a lot of football, and I know right and wrong. It was wrong, and the league did the right thing for suspending him the amount that they did.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Chicago. Visit VasectomyChicago.com for information about their 30-minute, no-needle, no-scalpel in-office vasectomy. That's VasectomyChicago.com. Lively conversation today, Shay. Thanks to Miles Garrett and Company. 312-332-3776. Wait a minute. Stop the presses. There's a caller that says Jesse makes a good point. Junior, the floor is yours. Take your time.
Jesse, hold on. Let me preface this by saying I've been listening all morning. For the most part, you've been dead wrong on absolutely everything.
Oh, jeez.
But you are 100% right. If I'm Pouncey and my boy, if I see what Miles Garrett just did to my boy, I'm going to wail on the guy. I don't think he did anything wrong. Sure, I understand he kicked him in the head, but he was wearing a helmet. He's fine. The suspension for Pouncey is just, I think it's a little too much. And you're right, Jesse. I'd do that for my brothers any day of the week.
All right, good call. I mean, if Ogunjobi gets one, Pouncey should get one. That's my feeling.
That's fine. I don't feel strongly enough that to fight that. I think they both should have been penalized.
Shay's keys to not losing is the way we're putting this now, right? That's coming up.
Shay's keys to the Bears not losing against the Rams in primetime on Sunday night.
And Carmen and Yurko from Potter's Place. That's all next on ESPN 1000.
I love this job, Yerk, and the bosses love us so much, they let us hit the town for Football Friday shows.
Are you certain they aren't just trying to get rid of us, Carm? 4 days a week with you is enough.
Me? I'm the troublemaker?
Truly, as in, it's a Truly Football Friday live broadcast from Potter's Place in Naperville.
Nice segue, good kid. Stop by today from noon to 2.
Brought to us by Truly Hard Seltzer, it's Truly Football Friday.
See you today at noon at Potter's Place, downtown Naperville. Tell your friends, and please drink responsibly.
Everybody's favorite segment of the week, Shay's Keys to Not Losing. I love that phrase. Instead of... And when did it change?
Before the Lions game last week. I had just lost a lot of faith, and I'm like, I got to change the phrasing here because it just sounded too positive. Shay's Keys to a Victory sounded way too happy. So I'm like, make it to how the Bears cannot lose against a game, against a team they should absolutely beat. And it's the same story this week. You ready?
Jesse Rogers, Shay Pepler, until noon. We got Carmen and Yurko coming up, but here we go. Shay's Keys to Not Losing.
And this is always my favorite music in the background, a little bit of Lizzo. Okay, here we go. Bears defense needs to come out and make a statement against the Rams that last year's thumping over this team was not just the cold weather along the lakefront. Jared Goff has been nowhere near as good as he was a year ago, and the Bears defense needs to take advantage of that. They had 4 turnovers last year along the lakefront. Go for 5. Be even better in the warm weather in their building. The matchup will be to watch this weekend will be Bears receiver Allen Robinson going up against cornerback Jalen Ramsey. These two are former teammates. They were teammates in Jacksonville. Ramsey likes to talk. We know this about his game. Robinson said he knows that. He also knows he's a very physical tackler. Robinson needs to use his familiarity with Robinson to his advantage and come away winning those 50-50 balls. He needs to be the better player on the field in that matchup. The offensive line. Before last week, Cody Whitehair has not snapped the ball in 10 months. He's now in the center position and he needs to capitalize there this week. They had less than a week to prepare for that switch on the offensive line against the Lions. Now, obviously, they have more time. And obviously, Cody Whitehair has been working on those snaps so he doesn't have as many issues as he did against the Lions. Cody knows it. He'll be better. The offense will play better because of it. And that should result in points. Will it? I don't know. But I do know there should be more efficient communication at the line of scrimmage, and that'll be good for Mitchell Trubisky and this Bears offense. Speaking of the quarterback, bottom line in this game, and the way the Bears can win or not lose, is if Mitch Trubisky plays better than Jared Goff. Trubisky has 3 more touchdowns than Goff. He has 7 less interceptions, but Goff has almost 1,000 more yards. The more capable quarterback in this one is going to prevail. All eyes are on Mitch Trubisky.
To go along with the theme of sort of the negative way of looking at these things, you know, keys not to lose.
Yeah,
I think the way to say it about the quarterbacks is who plays less worse. You know what I mean? It's right. Not about who plays great. It's about who is less worse than the other guy. And a year ago, we would have said these guys could battle it out through the air. You know, Trubisky was advanced. Now it's a different story. I mean, who can not make mistakes? And even Philly Godfather said it. When there's a rush, Jared Goff isn't very good. And we know Trubisky's not very good with or without a rush at times.
Both of these guys are not good under pressure. And both of these defense like to pressure the quarterback. So it'll be interesting. But this is a very winnable game for the Bears. Obviously, this Rams offensive line is depleted. Todd Gurley has not been the player that they've needed him to be. They don't have Brandon Cooks, one of their top receivers. But Prince Amukamara made a really good point yesterday in the locker room. He said, hey, we didn't see Cooper Kupp. Receiver for the leading receiver for this Rams team. We didn't see him last year. This is a new look for us. So that is someone we need to key on in this game and know where he is at all times. But Jesse, going back to the fact that this is a winnable game for the Bears, look, they have a favorable schedule here for the next couple of games. They can win this one in LA. And also, this is a place, it's not a typical road game. You're not going to have a stadium that's filled in a different jersey. There's going to be a lot of Bears fans there. And obviously, L.A. doesn't have the same kind of rampant fan base that the Philadelphia Eagles have, or pick your poison there. So this is a winnable game. Then next week, you're at home against the Giants that are they're putrid. They're terrible. You can definitely beat the Giants at home. You go to Detroit on Thanksgiving. They don't have Matthew Stafford right now. He's not playing again this weekend. They probably won't have him in 2 weeks in, you know, at home on Thanksgiving. Obviously, you've beaten that team one time. You can do it again. They did last year. They beat them twice. And then you have the Cowboys at home. And then you finish with Green Bay and the Chiefs in Minnesota. Those three will be tough.
Yes, they
will.
But
the Cowboys at home is another good opportunity. The Cowboys are used to playing in a dome.
If you've won those games you've mentioned, now you're feeling good about yourself.
Exactly.
And I'd feel much better about a game against the Cowboys, who are up and down. And I don't,
very inconsistent.
They haven't really beaten good teams either, the Cowboys.
Right.
So, yeah, but you're painting this perfect, idyllic picture.
I'm just saying, it's a winnable game for the Bears that could mean more than just a win. Last week, that's cute. That's nice. That's nice you beat a Lions team that at the last second you realize that their, you know, franchise quarterback isn't playing and you're at home. That's cute. That's nice. They also have a terrible defense. Well, now you're facing a real defense on the road. Let's stack together two consecutive wins. You haven't done that since the middle of September.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Those are Shea's keys to not losing on Sunday night when the Bears play the Rams. Let's get back to this Yu Darvish story. He went on YouTube to talk about the 2017 World Series where he got hit hard by the Astros and then this question about whether the Astros were stealing signs illegally. So he wanted to talk about it a little bit. It's been translated. Here's some quotes. Because I had that experience, I was able to work hard these last 2 years and become the person I am now. That's good. The Cubs are getting the benefits of his failures from the past. And certainly year one wasn't good, but we've seen a different Darvish over the last 12 months or so. So that's what he said there. Then he says, I feel like that if I absolve myself and say it was the Astros' fault, I was bad in Game 7 in the World Series, I can't develop as a person. In life, I think huge failures are extremely important. I've had a few up to this point. The World Series was one of them. I think it will remain a point of reference for me. I've already learned a lot from it. So regarding that, I can't view myself charitably. I think I have to continue to accept the results. And then he goes on to what's been reported up to this point is that they use cameras at their home field. So I don't know if there was anything like that, Darvish said. But what they were doing was so high level that I can't honestly say there's no chance they were also doing it on the road because he got, you know, hit famously in Game 7.
So, it's so high level, the cheating.
Yeah. So, supposedly. I mean, he didn't say a lot there, but if you ask me if I got hit in Game 7 because they stole signs, I don't think so. The Astros have great players who don't have to do that, so I think that whether or not they stole signs, the results wouldn't have changed. So he's sort of taken the high road, and obviously...
Why post that at all, though?
I don't know. I think people started asking him. I mean, we put in a request to get him on the show. I mean, I think because he got hit so hard and the Astros are in trouble, people obviously connected the dots. Maybe they were stealing his signs. And he, you know, at the time there were people saying he was tipping his pitches.
Right.
So was it him tipping or them with a camera on the catcher and figuring it out? Because think about this. He's got 5, 6, 7 pitches. If you know what pitch is coming from him especially, that's got to help you. Guy that has 2 pitches, okay, you might be able to guess and get it right. I'm just wondering if, you know, we'd have to talk to a player, but you're able to know what he's throwing. That's got to help.
Right.
That's got to help. So... Anyway, that's what he said, I did that on his YouTube page. But if you don't speak Japanese,
we had to have it translated to actually know what he was talking about. But this all goes back to the Astros, really. At the end of the day,
right? Well, I didn't know if it would be news making material if he had said, "Absolutely, I've always thought the Astros cheated," but he didn't say that. He said he thought they did. In fact, he says he doesn't think they cheated. A little different if that last game had happened in Houston. I think it would have been a little bit of a different conversation.
No, what you basically said, you Darvish, not you, meaning Jesse, I was just really bad in that game.
Right.
Thanks for inquiring that maybe I wasn't so bad and someone was maybe pulling the wool over my eyes. But yes, indeed, I was just not good.
312-332-3776 is the number if you want to sound off. Final few minutes before we say hello to Carmen and Yurko. They're out at Potter's Place in Naperville. Obviously, we're talking about the suspensions. After discussing what went on last night, we hear about the suspensions.
Yeah, it's been a morning about this Browns and Steelers game last night.
Is it just indefinite for Garrett, right?
What
else? Miles Garrett got 3.
Yeah, suspended indefinitely, a minimum of the rest of this season, and they added in postseason, although we all know the Browns aren't likely going to the postseason. Both Browns and Steelers organizations have each been fined $250,000. That's $500,000 combined, okay? Pouncey, 3 games. Ogunjobi suspended 1 game and fined for unnecessary roughness, which, whatever. League says more discipline for other players, and fines are still coming.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Chris is in Elmhurst. You're on ESPN 1000.
I think 8 games is a good starting point. I also think that sometimes, and I'm sorry, just isn't good enough.
Yes,
he took his helmet off. he used it as a weapon with the intent to hurt somebody else. Okay, so for Jesse, for you to say that anything above 8 games is overboard is a little alarming. We're having a different conversation if this guy was put in the hospital. The league is trying to combat CTE, okay, for helmet-to-helmet plays that are, quote-unquote, just part of the game. This isn't part of the game, okay? So 8 games is a good starting point. I hope it carries over into next year. Thanks, guys.
All right. Okay, so he's saying 8 games. That would carry over 2 games into next year.
All right, I don't want to get too deep into this. The whole concussion thing. I mean, he happened to hit him in the head. What if he hit him in the shoulder? Does that make you feel better? Just because we're talking about concussions.
Okay, that's interesting
in football,
you say that. Because if he got hit in the shoulder, I don't think it'd be. I still think people would be up in arms because you're swinging a helmet and a weapon, essentially. But I don't think it would. And also, let's say he hit someone other than the quarterback in the shoulder.
Right.
I also think it would maybe be less of outrage.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Do you think it would be less of a suspension?
I still think he'd be suspended for the rest of the year, but I don't think it would be indefinitely and these right. large
well,
fines for both teams.
We're splitting hairs
That's
a little
my,
bit.
Maybe.
We don't know that he was aiming at his head. I mean, DeCastro.
Sure looked like it. DeCastro sure looked like he was aiming at his head.
Well, he's just swinging. If he could have hit his shoulder. I mean,
but
he
kind of went over the top. It sure looked like he was aiming for his head.
All right, but anyway, we got to take a break. I'm exhausted.
Jesse, I have to go because I go over to Fox and tape Bears Unleashed.
All right,
so I'm saying goodbye
it.
To you. This
unleash
was a fun
it.
Friday.
This was fun. Don't worry, Cap will be back with you next week, so you can relax. We'll come back with I'll come back with Carmen and Yurko. Good seeing you, Shay.
Same to you.
Safe travels to LA, of course.
Thank you. Safe travels to Mexico.
Thank you. That's coming up Sunday. Have I said that enough today?
I'm so jealous.
Potter's Place in Naperville, where Carmen and Yurko are next on ESPN 1000.